This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Coming up in the second half of our show today, we'll talk with Penny Taylor. She's the chair of Collier County's commission about the county's response to Hurricane Irma and the lessons learned from the storm and how that changed, what changes could help prepare for future storms. But first, communities coming together in the wake of a storm can display some of the best aspects of human nature. For the past week and a half here on Gulf Coast Live, we've shared stories of people mobilizing to meet the needs of those ravaged by this storm. We've seen law enforcement agencies, emergency operations centers, and volunteers work together to bring food and other supplies to those that need it most. And we've given updates on the slow process of returning power, water, and more to homes across Southwest Florida. But as Hurricane Irma fades into history and many turn their efforts to rebuilding, law enforcement and other agencies are urging Southwest Floridians to be on the alert for scams, frauds, and other bad actors. The sad truth is there are people who try to take advantage of those beset by the devastation of the storm. But there are steps you can take to protect yourself from fraud and make sure the investments you make to rebuild will do just that. Joining me to talk about ways to avoid fraud and scams in the aftermath of Hurricane Irma is Staff Officer Daryl Abishan with the Lee County Sheriff's Office. Welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Thank you. Good afternoon. How are you?
Well, I'm glad to have you because I think we need a lot of these tips. We are talking about fraud in the wake of Hurricane Irma. Have you had any sketchy experiences or questionable phone calls? Give us a call and tell us your story so we know what to look out for at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we are at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So Staff Officer Daryl Abishan, we've seen the alerts from Lee County's Sheriff's Office and from other law enforcement agencies. Are you putting these alerts out there to get ahead of scammers? Are you actually seeing reports of scam and fraud already related to Irma?
Well, we see both. We get all the, of course, the Sheriff's Office takes all the complaints for any type of economic fraud or anything like that that occurs here in Lee County, and that stuff comes in constantly. It just comes in more when we have a storm like this because there are a lot of people that gravitate to the area to try to take advantage of the people when they're down.
So you've already had some reports coming in of people?
Yeah, that's correct. There are groups of people that like to come into the area. They like to try to go and take deposits for repairs on your house, and then they're never to be seen again. So obviously we have information on the Sheriff's Office website, and we don't encourage anybody to give money out to somebody if they don't know who the contractor is.
Do contractors usually even ask for deposits on work like this when you're still dealing with insurance and FEMA?
I don't recommend you give a deposit to a contractor unless you verify that contractor and you understand exactly who it is you're doing business with. And it's very easy to do that online. You can look up a contractor very easily on multiple different websites and find out if they're a legitimate contractor or if there's some scam artist that's from out of town.
So, well, we've done shows fairly recently, actually, about the importance of hiring licensed contractors to do home improvements or remodels. Do you have to have a licensed contractor when you're just looking to fix storm damage?
Well, you have the right to protect your property. So if you're capable of protecting, you know, putting a tarp on your roof or doing what you need to do to prevent further damage to your own property, you have the right to do that. You can also help your neighbors, or your neighbors can help you, or friends can help you. So that's not the issue. The issue comes when you're actually taking that house apart and putting it back together and repairing it. That type of work requires a permit and requires a licensed contractor to do it.
And when we did that show about the importance of having a licensed contractor do that work, we indicated that there is a website. It's pretty easy to navigate. It's the Florida State Professional and Business Regulation website where you can look up somebody by name, I think, to find out whether or not they do have a valid license.
That's absolutely correct. It's very easy to find out who you're doing business with and to determine whether or not they're properly licensed and insured. And there's basically four things that you need to do. I've been a general contractor myself since 1991, and I teach people how to hire subcontractors in a professional way as a general contractor would hire subcontractors. If you do it like a general contractor does it, you're not going to get taken. And that's very, very easy to do. There's four things that I'm going to want you to ask anybody who's given you a bid or a proposal. I want you to ask for four things from that person. Number one, you want their competency license. And what I mean by that is if they're a plumber, you want their state plumbing license. If they're an electrician, you want their state electrical license. If they're a roofer, you want their state roofing license, and so on. So the competency license is their state or county license for the discipline that they're selling you. So you want that, number one. Number two, you want their business tax receipt. That is their business license that says they're running a legitimate business in Lake County or in the state of Florida. Number three, you want their workers' compensation. And number four, you want their general liability policy. Now, these four things, if you get these four things from your contractor, and any legitimate contractor will have these four things. If they start to hem and haw and make an excuse and say they don't have it, that should be a giant red flag. And all these things are verifiable, very easily done. I tell people just four things. Google DBPR. That's the Department of Business and Professional Regulation. You Google DBPR, you put that information, you go instantly to that website, and the very first tab on that website says verify license.
And I've done that, and it's really not that hard.
It's really easy. You can search by name, you can search by license number, you can search by city or county, or you can search by license type. So it's really easy. And that's a state-run website. But it will tell you if a contractor has a state license or if they have a county license, and that information will be in there.
Now,
the next thing you do is you go to the workers' comp website, mm-hmm. workman's comp website, and you do the exact same thing.
And double check up on that they didn't give you a fake workers' comp.
Exactly, and it'll tell you whether it's active, inactive, whether they've applied for it, whether it's been granted. And the other thing that contractors like to do is they like to say, well, I'm workman's comp exempt. Well, there is a such thing as being exempt from workers' comp, but an exemption is not something that you just say that you have. An exemption is actually a status that you apply for workman's comp, and they give it to you. They give you that exemption. So it'll tell you if you go to their website whether or not that business or that employee is exempt or not.
They can't
just say they're exempt. It has to be, it's a status given by workers' comp, and it'll show whether they have a workers' comp policy or whether they're exempt. That information will be right on that website.
And I think workers' comp is required for some of these licenses to even be given to people.
It is required, and in some cases they can have an exemption. So, and I'll give you an example. If you're running a general contracting firm and you have a secretary that works in that firm, well, she doesn't necessarily need a workers' comp policy because she's not on the roof nailing up shingles. Mm-hmm. So that particular employee can be exempt. And there's other classifications for exemptions, too. But if you're hiring a roofer or something like that, and in this case with all the roof damage we have, I would not hire a roofer who tries to tell me they're exempt from workers' comp. That you're just asking for trouble. If that person falls off that roof and injures themselves, you're going to have a big problem there on your property.
Yeah, that would definitely be a problem. Are there other issues, though, that people are going to be dealing with that may not be the roof or plumbing or electric? Things like drywall and carpet and tile work. Are those things, do those types of labor need to be licensed?
Yes, they do. And you brought up that, and you're talking about mold issues as well from all the saturation that these houses have. So you need to have tile setters, painters, all these types of trades. Most of those are licenses that are going to be issued by the county, not the state. But again, those licenses are verifiable on the DBPR website.
Oh, that's good. That's convenient. At least you don't have to go to every individual county's website to try to be able to look them up.
No, I tell everybody, I do a big long talk on unlicensed contracting and how to avoid the pitfalls, but the main thing I want anybody to remember is DBPR, and you just Google it, and that's gonna, that particular website will lead you everywhere you need to go to be able to verify these contractors and make sure they're legitimate.
And if anybody missed that, it's DBPR. If you just put that in your Google, it'll end up popping up the website. So
pops right up.
Yeah. So and then
the other thing I wanted to mention is make sure they have general liability insurance. Now that's not going to be something that's verifiable on the state website. That's going to be a private insurance company that provides general liability insurance to that contractor for the work that they've done. And the only way to verify that is typically to check with the agent who issued it. And the contractor should provide you with a certificate of insurance from a nationally recognized company. You can call that company and say, hey, is this contractor, is his insurance up to date, and what are the liability amounts?
And that general liability insurance, that covers in case, like, the contractor accidentally puts a ladder through a window or something like that?
Yeah, that's correct. And maybe the contractor is, maybe he's, and a good example is going to be tree trimmers. Obviously, we have a lot of downed trees. Trees are large. They can do a lot of damage. And if they're removing a tree from your property and that tree accidentally falls and smashes your neighbor's car or smashes into your neighbor's house, you want to make sure that contractor you hired to trim that tree has enough liability insurance to cover that damage. Otherwise, who do you think is going to pay for it?
Yeah, exactly. We are talking about fraud in the wake of Hurricane Irma. If you have had any sketchy experiences or you have any questions about what to look out for with fraudulent people showing up trying to help repair your home, give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. And you mentioned it. We're talking with Staff Officer Daryl Aubuchon with the Lee County Sheriff's Department. So you mentioned earlier a little bit about mold. Mold mitigation, is that something that is with a licensed person that knows how to do it, or anybody with a bleach can? How is that licensed?
No, that's definitely a licensed mold mitigation company that you want to have in there to do that work. And that's an area where you're absolutely going to want to check references. And the thing is, we always tell people it's pretty common advice to say get references. But I go one step further to say, well, okay, well, now you got the references. Why don't you call a few of them and see if they're legitimate or not? So it's not enough just to get their references. It makes a difference if you actually call and talk to some past clients and find out, you know, the kind of work they did. But with mold remediation and disaster cleanup, there's a lot of good companies that do this type of work. They're very easy to find on the Internet. Unfortunately, I can't make recommendations in the position I'm in, but there's a lot of well-known large firms that do that type of work, and they have licensed professionals that can come out there and make a proper assessment.
So when these guys give you a written estimate or a contract, is there something that you should make sure is written on them or make sure is not written on these contracts?
Absolutely. It's a great question. You want to make sure that the license number for that company is on that contract. And the obvious things, you want to make sure the business office address is on that company. You want to make sure their website address is on that contract. And make sure that license number is on that contract. And when you see the license number on that contract, run it through the DBPI website and make sure it comes back to that company. Make sure you're dealing with who you think you're dealing with.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I mean, you know, that's a good point. Have you had any reports of people impersonating FEMA agents or other inspectors trying to get access to people's homes?
I'm not aware personally of that. I'm not saying it's not happening, but I have not personally heard of that particular scam going on, but I wouldn't be surprised. So anybody who comes to your home pretending to be from the government, FEMA or whatever it is, they should have proper identification. And I wouldn't let anybody in my house if I don't know who they are.
Yeah, and so what kind of identification are you looking for? A badge? And if somebody is worried about, well, what's this guy want on my doorstep, do they need to call the Sheriff's Department non-emergency number, or is this a 911 situation?
Well, it's a 911 situation if you feel threatened. Always, if you feel threatened or frightened for any reason, call 911. Otherwise, you can call our non-emergency number at 477-1000. But if somebody comes up to you and is showing you a picture ID that says that they're with whatever agency they say they're with, ask them for the phone number of that agency and call that agency and find out if they're there or not.
Yeah. Why?
Or better yet, look up the agency yourself. Don't take their number worth. Don't take the number they're going to give you. Go to your trusty Google search and put in the number for FEMA and call that number that's on your computer, not the number they give you.
I just don't know what we did before Google. So do you think people should?
I know, right?
You know, I mean, I keep up DBPR for Google.
DBPR. That's the main thing we got to get across here today.
Exactly. So when people come up to your doorstep and they say, "Hey, I'm a contractor, and I noticed you had some roof tiles missing," should that kind of instantly arouse suspicion?
It should, and I'll tell you why. Like I said, I've been a contractor since 1991, and every roofer that I personally know, and I know a lot of them, I can't even get a hold of them, and these guys are friends of mine because they're so busy. If you've got a guy out selling roofing door-to-door right now in these conditions, I'd say that's a red flag because these guys should be way too busy right now than out soliciting work.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I would say that that's probably not a good idea. And the other scam they like to pull is they like to say, well, we're in your neighborhood this week, or we'll be in your neighborhood tomorrow, or in your neighborhood today, and they want, well, you know, just 20% down, and we'll get started on your repairs right away. No, absolutely not. If they collect 10 or 20% from half your neighbors, they've done that. That's a pretty good day for them, and you'll never see them again.
Yeah, exactly. We have a call coming in from Dee in Estero who has a question. Dee, what would you like to say?
Actually, it's more of a comment because I've been through some storms in other areas. If someone comes up to your house and they're offering to do work and you notice an out-of-state tag, say goodbye. It's normally a fraud.
Okay, and that's a
and
good...
I've seen that. Yeah. No, seriously, I've seen a lot of out-of-state tags driving around, and they are looking at the yards and they're doing things, and it's just not trustworthy. If you see that tag, if it's a utility company, totally different, or someone here doing repair work for, you know, the county. But if you see someone that says tree repair in Alabama, or hypothetically on the back, just kind of watch it and question it.
You don't want to offend everybody in Alabama. Yeah, hypothetically. Have you seen people in Estero driving around kind of eyeballing yards?
Oh, yes, because there's a lot of tree damage in the area. And you see, enough today I was clearing my yard a bit, and a guy come pulled by, and he says, here, I'll help you. And I went, no, thank you. We've already got a quote. Someone's starting next week. Well, how much is he going to charge you? I said, yeah, I've already got it covered. You can leave now.
Wow. Have you heard anything?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. Thank you for the tips, and it's interesting to know that there are people that are kind of doing that. And have you heard that, Staff Officer Daryl Aubuchon, about people kind of from out of state driving around in neighborhoods and just kind of picking people off who happen to be out in the front yard?
Absolutely, yeah. That's exactly the type of situation we're trying to avoid. They're out there, and I've seen them out there on the road. And any legitimate company coming here from out of state, if they're a legitimate company, they're going to come here, they're going to register with our local permitting office and our local licensing office, and they're going to get it straight and they're going to do it properly. If they're just going door to door with a pickup truck that's duct taped together, I'd say that's a red flag.
Yeah, and then they're trying to find out what you were paying somebody else, and they're going to try to undercut
sure.
that price. Now, for
well,
some...
they, and they want to know what the market is and what they can charge the next guy and not show up. These guys are famous for starting a job, doing it halfway, and leaving and never coming back, or just taking a deposit and never coming back. You know, there's really no reason to do business with somebody who's knocking on your door when things are as busy and crazy as they're going to be for the next 6 months cleaning up after this storm.
Exactly. So now somebody like Dee in Estero, when she saw this truck from whatever place it was from that was running around kind of canvassing and looking for people to pick off, when somebody sees something like that, do they need to maybe report that to the non-emergency line at the Sheriff's Department?
They can do that, and it's not illegal for somebody to come up and knock on your door. So it's not necessarily that they're committing a crime out there, but they have the potential to be committing crimes. So you're better off you just going check with the local permitting offices, find mm-hmm. out if these people are legitimate or if they're not. And some of the other good resources here in Lee County would be the Lee Building Industry Association, LBIA.
Mm-hmm.
They have lists of contractors that are licensed, and also in Cape Coral would be the Cape Coral Construction Industry Association. So you want to check around and call and check with these different resources. The biggest way not to get scammed is to understand who you're doing business with. Understand who these people are. Even if you've never met them, you can tell pretty quickly with a little bit of effort on your part whether or not you're doing business with a legitimate company or somebody who's just flown into town.
And sometimes does that rush to make things right in order to try to, you know, get a hold of mold developing after a flood situation and they want to get their roof fixed super quick, does that kind of cloud people's judgment, and do they feel like they don't really have the time to do all this background checking?
You're absolutely right. It does. And the temptation there is always, you know, to save a buck as well. And my point here is that, you know, most of us pay homeowners insurance rates for many, many, many years and never collect on it. So That's why you pay the insurance. You pay the insurance so that when something like this happens, you can get the you can get your house fixed and put back together properly, not done haphazard. So I know it's tempting, and you want to get it done. You want to get your life back to normal as quickly as possible, but you don't want to do that and have somebody come along and cover up something or cover up some mold, and then the next thing you know, 6 months, 8 months, a year down the road, you've got a bigger problem.
Yeah, or just using that bleach can. So I want to shift gears a little bit. There are a lot of people that are trying to do donations and trying to put their money towards helping people in these kinds of crises. Is there anything people need to look out for that you would suggest people concern themselves with when they're donating to charities? And because there's always that need not only to repair your own home, but help everybody else.
Yeah, that's a great question. And charity scams, they're out there every day in the And it's unfortunate because you got a lot of people out there that that feel for the people that have been hurt and they want to give. So if you it's very similar to hiring a contractor. Know who you're doing business with. Know who you're giving your money to. If you don't recognize the charity, there's lots of great national charities, United Way, for example. But if you don't know who you're donating money to, you need to do a little background. I always say check with your local church. Check with your own church that you go to. Find out what charities they're getting involved with. If you don't have that as an avenue, there's a couple of good websites that you can check. One is charitynavigator.org, mm-hmm. and the other is charitywatch.org. Those are two excellent online resources that you can verify a charity with if somebody's claiming to be a charity and collecting money for something. You can run those through those two websites.
And it's interesting because we see a lot of notices from law enforcement about scams making the rounds in Southwest Florida. People calling, claiming to be from a bank, a creditor, whoever, demanding some kind of payment, right. And then people asking for a deposit. And you always hear people say, who falls for these kinds of scams? But apparently it happens, and everyone thinks they're the exception. Why is that?
It happens every day, and it's so unfortunate. And I always tell all my friends and my family and people that I'm close to, you know, most legitimate companies don't do business over the phone. And what I mean by that is they don't solicit over the phone. Most legitimate companies do not. So if somebody's calling you saying that they're from the IRS or that the IRS, they send letters. If anybody's ever gotten a letter from the IRS, they know what I'm talking about. IRS sends letters, and they look very official. They don't call you up and say you owe them money. So if you're getting a telephone call with somebody demanding money from you or soliciting from you, chances are they're trying to scam you. Best approach is hang up.
All right, and we're going to cut things loose now. We have to leave it there, but I wanted to, one more time, those initials to Google, DBPR.
DBPR, don't forget it.
And yeah, say it together, DBPR, to look up who you have working on your home. Thanks to Staff Officer Daryl Aubuchon with the Lee County Sheriff's Office. I appreciate you coming on the show and getting the word out to our listeners.
Thank you, all my best.
Coming up, we'll talk with Penny Taylor, the chair of the Collier County Commission, about her takeaways from Hurricane Irma and what the county can learn to better prepare for the next storm. I'm Julie Glenn, and this is Gulf Coast Live. Stay with us.